Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 212. 212.
The palindrome issue.
It is a palindrome episode. It is the area code of New York City.
New York.
It's a pretty good one. Ping, the show that brings you all the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about. Welcome back, Rick.
Thank you. They let me back in the country.
They let you back. We put your hat back on.
Yes.
Last week was you without the hat. As we mentioned, as how much changes.
I think Heike did a good job.
Heike did a great job. We actually got a ton of feedback on Twitter.
Your microphone had some challenges. But,
listen, I like to say that I am just the pretty face in the show.
Nice, yes.
There's people behind the scenes that do the actual work.
There you go. And
so
something might have been overlooked. But something may have been overlooked. It wasn't our producer,
right.
And it wasn't our editor.
No. Can't fix that stuff in post.
Nope, can't.
No, if you don't have it.
Impossible.
But either way, we talked a lot about E3 and the World Cup. The World Cup is still going on. Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a note that the United States team is doing awesome with an original win over Ghana.
And the Canadian team is not to be found because they would not allow us on the field with hockey sticks.
They can hang out with the Spanish team.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Drinking some
sangria.
I was going to say chocolate or something like that.
I don't know.
I had a chocolate when I was there.
That's not how it is in Spain. I drank sangria.
Well, that's true. Sangria or beer.
We have a comment from Develop KC talking about, we asked two questions, right? We asked the, what are you looking forward to that was announced at E3 and mm-hmm. what team are you supporting in the World Cup? We got the U.S. here and cannot wait for the Halo Master Chief Collection. Halo 2 is something that I was telling one of my good friends who... he was never like a major league gamer or anything, mm-hmm. but he played pretty competitively on 2v2 in Halo 2, him and a friend of his,
yeah.
where they were in like the top ranks of people. They'd go around they'd play games where it was like, let's see if we can only kill people with melee or only grenades or things like that. They had to create new things. So the original Halo 2 gameplay coming back in with redone graphics.
And then you're saying you're able to switch off just with a key sequence.
Yeah,
the
back
graphics.
Button. The back button was how that was for Halo 1. Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary Edition was anytime live in the gameplay, you can switch between it. And I left it on the new stuff, honestly, most of the time.
Why would you go back?
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia, I guess.
Comparing stuff that you remember.
8-bit graphics, if you want to do some Minecraft type stuff.
Yeah, sure. So what are you, did you have a chance to catch up on E3?
Honestly, I didn't.
No.
It's in my queue to look at, with a bunch of other different things.
Sometimes when we travel... When you get back, there's just twice as much work waiting
yes,
for you.
Yes, basically. So. That's where I'm left at right now.
Well, if you watched Ping last week, you'll be able to get a listing of some of the stuff that we announced.
Were there any strange things that happened for the Xbox briefing? For the briefing? Did you see any weird stuff?
Not really.
Nothing really kind of popped out?
Any weird stuff?
Yeah, like, you know, bloopers or things
that didn't work correctly. A lot of times, you mean like the Peter Moore pausing the middle of Rock Band in the middle of a thing? At least you know it was a live demo.
Yeah, that's true.
No, is actually, this was a very no-frills, just meat and potatoes conference. There was no celebrity appearances. Mm-hmm. There were some Major League gamers playing. There were no, crazy bands appearing. It was just producers and directors and gaming studios.
But the real meat.
And 90 minutes of video game trailers, announcements, and previews.
So nice.
It's actually really awesome. There was a bunch of new stuff that came out about Civilization V Beyond Earth. I've been reading up on that. It's super cool.
Nice.
Great. You ready?
We can probably start. Well, I would say on the Twitters, we didn't get too much traffic on the hashtag.
Did get some.
Most of them were actually congratulating about how
Heike did
how good Heike did.
So, honestly, yeah. So we may have her back. We may have a group setting soon for another show. But for this one, let's go.
Let's kick it off. So apparently Cortana will be able to understand how I talk and will also be finishing all of her sentences with A as well. She'll be able to correctly interpret out and about and going out and a boot to see what's going on. The rumor has it, actually from the comments, that the principal lead architect for Cortana, his mother, is Canadian.
Really?
And she was giving him flack for not having it available as a region to be able to have at launch time.
I can imagine that kind of relation. That would be bad.
That is completely unconfirmed, and it's only inside the comment area. But the reality that came out of this particular article that came up, where is this from? This is from The Verge. No, this is from Mobile Syrup. I used to follow Mobile Syrup all the time.
Oh.
If you're interested in telecom issues in Canada, it's a small audience. Mobile syrup.com is a place to go. Basically,
does syrup make sense to
you? Got maple syrup. Yeah, all right,
okay.
Got it. See,
all right.
I can educate you on this Ping show as well. The Cortana currently, as you know, with the Dev Preview 8.1, has to be in a US region locale and also has to be in the keyboard layout, also has to be US English too.
Yeah.
Some ROMs actually don't have the US English keyboard layout and are blocked from getting Cortana. Like if you get a Hong Kong ROM or something like that from an unlocked phone. So that also came up in the comments too. Great stuff you learn inside Mobile Syrup.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was actually some demonstrations going on by Janet Kennedy, Microsoft Canada's president, during a recent telecom event up in Canada, going off and showing it off, and showing off that obviously Cortana is able to know how to get directions to the venue and be able to give you the current weather forecast for Canada. It's out there. They plan on having it available at launch time.
They say launch time, and they also say this summer.
Yes.
Which, this is the first episode of the official summer?
I think so. Well, when this goes live, it will be.
Yes.
Yes,
it will be. I'm just looking at the calendar here.
Yeah, we're about the longest day in the year right now.
The solstice is coming up on the northern hemisphere.
Yep.
Let's be specific.
Let's be geographically sensitive.
So we are close. This upcoming season should bring us 8.1 and Cortana and everything.
So, it's obviously, you've already announced it's also going to be available in the UK region as well,
yep,
and some other regions. So stay tuned, obviously, for more official announcements. These are just some of the ones that we managed to pick up with some of our efforts from the RSS feeds.
Cool. This just in from space. NASA last year announced, or 2012 actually announced, that they are working on a warp drive. And for those of you who have not watched Star Trek,
the Ping audience not watching Star Trek. This is like the target.
We have a very expansive audience. I don't want to leave anyone out.
Okay.
But warp drives are the concept of engines that will let spacecraft go
faster
at the speed of light or faster.
Faster
than speed of light.
Yep.
Anyway, the idea being that right now it would take a journey to Alpha Centauri, which is the closest star that's similar to ours, or actually closest star at all. It would be a 4.3 light year journey. So 4.3 years at the speed of light. They're saying that these new drives, Alcubierre drives.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to pronounce that.
I don't pronounce very well.
Alcubierre.
I have not been localized.
Alcubierre, I think
Alcubierre.
It is.
Miguel Alcubierre was the physicist. It would change that 4.3 year long journey of the speed of light to a time of around 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So that's really, really fast.
And the best part of this article, besides some of these interesting tidbits, is the artist rendition.
This is why I brought it here. Yeah. So the artist, Mark Rainmaker.
Darn sexy spaceship.
I want to be inside of that machine right there.
I will do tech support for this spaceship.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the rendition is the IXS Enterprise, is what they're calling it. I'm assuming IX is like interstellar, extra stellar or something like that. The image is stellar. They said they took some references from the Enterprise of yesterday, from Star Trek Enterprise. But you can see, instead of like spindly, kind of thin connections, everything, they're all very wide, very, basically, you're going to have something this large to carry an engine that big.
Oh, yeah.
Why not carry as much stuff as you can with it?
Of course. I like how some of the renditions actually have the NASA logo with a whole bunch of other logos next to it, because they're obviously going to require some kind of significant sponsorship to be able to pull this kind of stuff off.
I imagine. In similar but different space news, Elon Musk had just talked about going to Mars. Now, NASA's been talking about getting stuff onto Mars soon. What Elon Musk says is that before the 2020s are finished, so within the next 10, 15 years, that we will have manned missions to Mars.
Wow.
And he believes that, he already has his second larger engine, or I guess not the second engine, this is multiple, the Dragon engines and all that stuff, shuttles. If you don't know, he's actually running, SpaceX, this company, is running missions to the International Space Station, like bringing stuff up there. And with the new capsule, they're going to start bringing people, astronauts, up and down as well. So they're already into commercial manned space flight.
Totally.
Which is ridiculous. So Mars, maybe into something that looks kind of like that, would be pretty awesome.
I think they actually they had a competition a little while ago for trying to have the first people that could be able to go up.
And that was SpaceX.
And it was basically you can get up there, but we're not going to get you back.
Yeah.
So you got to be aware of the fact that you're basically on a one-way trip.
This is the worst contest ever.
Yeah, but they had bazillions of people apply for it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I didn't apply.
Less than 7 billion somewhere in there. But so some cool stuff. It is very exciting to be living in this age. They used to call it the space age. We're now past that because space is like old news. We're now making fancier sports cars of space. We're going to be in the Jetsons sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
So
the article kind of trails off with a bit of stuff talking about the Tesla battery packs and trying to be able to make a more affordable car and that sort of stuff. So there's a whole whack of really cool stuff going on.
Oh, very cool.
Breaking news. First, we brought you the skirt that was made out of Lumias. Remember that?
It's our fashion desk.
Fashion desk section of, because we're such fashion aficionados. the Lumia skirt, we had debate about how many Lumias it was to be able to do the
Countless.
Math, to be able to see and sort of stuff. This one's easy. This one is the first pair of fashion designed by A. Sauvage, British designer, charging smart pants.
I'm going to say you know it's British because they're charging trousers.
charging trousers. Maybe they have a matching jumper to go with that. basically, we've teamed up with a designer, A. Sauvage. I don't know what his first name is. It's A.
I thought he was
Canadian with A. But he's got you there. But it's actually taking a pair of designer trousers,
pants.
And then pants, and then integrating in a special Nokia DC50 wireless key, or you're saying
Qi
charging station. So the DC50 wireless charger is, in case you don't know, a 24 milliamp hour battery that comes with a receiving charging and also a sending charging device into it. And you basically charge up the battery, put it inside your pocket, or in this case they have a special pouch where that goes, and then you put your smartphone in the pocket and it will charge your smartphone through the magic of wireless charging.
So essentially, it's a battery wireless charger that you can put on top of a wireless charger to recharge.
Yes.
Can you put a phone on top of the wireless charger
Absolutely.
That's great.
That'll work. That will absolutely work.
I like it.
So now you can have smart pants, not just regular jeans, and be able to not worry about any of your devices to be able to do this. And this happens to be something that was talked about with marketing director for Microsoft Mobile off in the UK. Was commenting around how we've obviously done a lot of work with designers, the Nokia skirt and others, now we're making these charging pants. And some of the comments that came up was, well, what do you do when you wash the pants?
Well, take the charger out.
You unzip the pockets, take out the DC50.
Or if you're any of my friends, take the charger out, but throw your Fitbit in there.
Yeah, that works. It might interfere with
the number of Fitbits that have gone through the wash.
You don't even want to know how many Fitbits I've replaced over the years. I'm up to like, I think my sixth one or something.
Oh, I'm surprised.
Really? Anyway, you apparently can pre-order these. They'll be available on Amazon and other online services that are coming up. Check the hashtag wireless charging is the one that they're using to basically follow different stuff. And they got some more information on there besides just the article, which will obviously be at the bottom of the page. Question to me is, are you going to get these pants or what, man?
Depends.
Are you going to get these trousers?
Depends on the style and price.
Yeah? I'm not that picky.
They need to match. Would they come in orange?
Maybe you have a new market possibility of having charging trousers of different colors to match the Lumia icon colors, perhaps.
Years ago, I was lucky enough to go visit the, I believe we call now the Envisioning Center, but it used to be called the Home of the Future.
Oh, yeah.
On campus, where basically we'd have a team building what we thought the home could look like in 10 years or 15 years down the line, so we could have kind of a vision of what we're moving to. Well, Microsoft has just announced a new startup accelerator, which is basically helping facilitate new projects come along, focusing on home automation. So Microsoft Ventures is kind of our key into the startup world to, like I said, bootstrap some cool scenarios that we want to empower for the future.
And specifically on home automation for the one that we're looking at right now?
This one is all, yes, but on home automation. The dream of building smarter homes is what they call the marriage of devices and services that control. Like imagine the Nest, for example. A great example of something that is a everyday household item that has been now connected and become smart. I have a scale that, oh, my kid logs my weight and body fat up to the cloud. I have, like, there's all these things around the home that we take for granted that could be completely reinvented. So the thought here is to consolidate a bunch of various programs and accelerators that we've had for a while. We've consolidated them under the name of Microsoft Ventures. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to kind of, say, put more wood between fewer arrows in this case. And really honing in here. So it's actually here in this same building.
And technically, it's on the other side of this wall over here, right, is where they're going to be housing themselves for a period of time. I think it's a, I don't know if they have a time limit or something like that.
I don't recall.
But I know it's a number of months for the startups to be able to come and live on campus in a creative environment. Actually, there was an internal email that was asking about if you wanted to mentor and assist with these.
I didn't receive this email.
I applied.
No.
So I can come and talk to you.
Absolutely.
If you're part of this.
Microsoft is planning to admit about 10 startups to the first class.
Yep.
And expects them to take advantage of the technical resources both inside and outside of Microsoft. We obviously have hundreds of buildings here on campus and tens of thousands of employees. There are also very many partners and other companies around the area to help out with it. Mm-hmm. American Family is the is one of the big partners in this. So look forward to see what comes out of there.
Now, this is also part of home automation, but the buzzword is Internet of Things.
Internet of Things, yes. So Internet of Things would extend
IoT
outside of your home,
right?
So, but yeah, absolutely. It definitely falls under that umbrella of just making devices part of the internet, part of just being connected.
Very cool.
That way, control your from your phone, or listen to the cloud, or take or aggregate data and all sorts of fun stuff, you know. Make sure your hot water heater isn't wasting, you know, energy or all sorts of interesting.
Hopefully they'll continue to let us into the building to film.
Yes.
We'll find out.
All these cameras here would make it interesting for these new devices.
Yeah, really.
Last week was E3. We didn't cover everything that there was because there was way too much.
Yes.
But one of the things we want to cover is the July update.
Now, this is just coming hot on the heels of the June update.
I was going to say, it seems like there's a pattern here.
There must be.
There's two big themes here. One is that much like the 360, in fact, it feels a whole lot more frequent than the 360, mm-hmm, you're going to see the Xbox transform at the longer it's out.
Cool.
I mean, the original 360, does anyone remember the Blades interface?
Yeah.
It's a long way away.
That's,
well,
back in my day.
Back when it first came out, when I played Fight Night Round 2.
Fable.
I think it was like the only game.
Fable, man.
Oh, gosh. Basically, the two things is, one, we'll be updating this all the time, and two, it's going to be from feedback from you, the customers and the gamers out there.
Yep.
So the things that are coming in July you can look forward to are Snap Mode for Achievements.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one. Right now, since Achievements is like its own app, you have to bounce out and back and forth. With Snap Mode, there's a nice screenshot here. You'll be able to see your progress towards the next achievements, ones you're closer to.
It's live?
Yes, so it updates you as you're going along.
So as
the
I'm
game.
Fragging a whole bunch of people, if I need to get 500 frags.
As you're slaying zombies, as you're throwing touchdowns, as you're kicking goals.
Nice. That's worth me checking out immediately.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that. I actually, here's a plug for TrueAchievements.com. They're one of my favorite partner sites. What they do is they calculate how many people are playing the game, and then they divide the number of people that have each achievement, so you can tell which achievements are harder to get than others.
Okay, you
can
see some background BI data on your achievements.
How I make I have Excel sheets and everything. It tells me which games I've been playing for the highest possibility to get the most gamer score.
Wow.
It's been a while since I've actually upped my
updated
score. I'm still sitting at like a 75,000 or something like that.
Back in my day, when I came from Canada, you had to actually create a new account because you could not migrate your geo accounts.
You can do that now.
Months after I arrived, you could move it. I'm like, no!
Because
I'd already started up my new account.
The other capabilities coming up are the double tap to snap. If you double tap your the middle guide button, that will bring up the Snap Center where you can launch any of those other apps. You can already, right now, if you have something Snap, that's how you swap between context between the game or full screen or Snap One. Spoken language, so New Zealand, Ireland, and Austria. We'll be able to select English or German voice models, and if you're an expat in an English-speaking country, you can choose English that fits you and other countries. Filling out the options there, stuff we didn't have at launch.
Cool.
There's a bunch of other things like background. In the background, we're making it possible to have digital bundles, easier ways for producers and publishers to put together packages of content or discounts like that. And then there's a like button on game DVR clips, which is really cool because people really like the feature.
Yeah.
If you look, I don't know, my stream is flooded with people playing games, uploading stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be really nice to kind of have the cream float up to the top there.
Nice extra way to get some user participation crowdsourcing.
Yeah.
Speaking of crowdsourcing.
Speaking of, yeah.
The next one, I was going to say this one here because this is kind of neat for me, is this concept. Now, this is apparently something that's been going on for a while and is very popular in the dev space, which is uservoice.com. This is actually an Xbox uservoice.com.
There is now.
That you can now go off and provide your feedback. The concept of your ideas, your votes, and, you know, ultimately it's your Xbox.
The nice thing about User Voice, a couple things. It's an outside company that does this, so it's it's kind of a nice neutral ground for us to be customers.
Yep.
And you are given a allocation, a set of points. So you can't just vote on every feature you want, because that's not the way that dev works, right? Like, we can only produce so much at one time.
Here's $100. Go, and which dollars would you put towards these different feature sets and you run out before
If you really have to make that hard decision of what you want more, we'll be able to get a clearer view of what we will deliver to you. So xbox.uservoice.com, give us your feedback.
Yep.
Thanks so much for watching. It's good to have the two of us back here again. We'll probably do this next week, maybe.
Next week's got some logistical issues.
We may have something special for you next week. Stay tuned. You can find out more if you follow #PingShow on Twitter.
Yep.
We'll be chatting there with you all week. You can follow us individually at Mark DeFalco.
@RicksterCDN.
And Facebook, obviously, facebook.com/ThePingShow. And don't forget that Dead Tree mail.
Oh, yeah, Dead Tree is snail mail. You can also reach us at The Ping Show, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
It is a quick deluge of Dead Tree mail for a little while, and it slowed down, but they're very nice.
And we put everyone up on the corkboard outside in the studio.
It's really cool, yeah. Question of the week.
I say...
It's got to be those trousers.
The pants.
Yeah.
Trousers.
Those trousers have a really cool...
Pants.
Have a really cool concept, a very, very fashion but function.
Yeah.
What else do you think you can use wireless charging in? What would be more convenient for you? Do you like those pants, by the way? And where else would you like to have that feature?
So, your answer for that one, do you want to share the answer now or what?
I want a backpack.
No? The backpack would do
backpack.
It?
I want the ability just to, especially during travel, like airports and stuff,
yeah.
I want to be able to dump everything in my bag and then like plug my bag in or something like that. I don't know how that would work.
I'm saying...
Not a mechanical guy.
The hat.
Obviously.
I can put a DC50 right here in the top, and I can just put the phone on top.
Put the solar panel on the hat.
Solar panel could work, too, because it is SPF 50.
Completely sustainable, yes.
Because we get so much sun
all
here.
All of that.
We get so much sun here in sunny Seattle.
But
what do you say? We're going to be looking for some extra wireless charging options in fashion if those particular trousers are not going to meet your needs. With that, man, let's put this one in the can.
Let's get out of here. Let's enjoy our summer. Oh.